God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Oh, keep that music playing. Just keep that music playing. When the God of the universe spoke, it was to create the world. He said, let there be light. And he could have just snapped his fingers. He could have done any number of things, but instead he spoke. Because we believe we speak about the happenings in the world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I am Todd Herman. Can we all agree on something? May I just ask your indulgence, beg your indulgence for a moment before we get into the prepared remarks from the teleprompter. I don't use teleprompters. Just a quick note to Washington, D.C. Stop it. I'm not going to pretend to care about your debt ceiling drama. I'm not going to watch the play. Unplugged. It's not going to affect me. I'm through pretending it's anything other than drama. The Lord Jesus was the inventor of everything, is the inventor of everything, being God Almighty himself. He was the first to use the phrase hypocrite, not about a stage actor. First instance in history, known history, of someone calling the religious technocrats of his age, everything is his age, but his age walking with us, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, hypocrites, actors. This act, this debt ceiling, this government shutdown act, it's just that. This is the Washington, D.C. equivalent of, hey, look, I'd like to hold on to this car for you. I see your wife loves it, but my sales manager just won't allow that. In fact, there's a couple coming here from Orange County, and they're bringing cash. So you're going to need to move in the next probably 7 minutes. Or you could just tell your wife, you know, you don't love her. that's what they're doing. So because of your kindness and your philanthropy towards the American Family Radio Network, because of your financial support, we reach 182 radio stations. So just stop, DC. Another way to approach this is to yawn. Sparrows in the field. God's going to provide. In terms of funding the government, how about no? Not until we see them seek to serve rather than be served. That's just a little departure. There was a January 6th apparent rioter, although we don't know, who was convicted in secret. And even the Associated Press has seen clear to actually reporting this. They write, hundreds of rioters have been charged, convicted, and sentenced for joining the so-called mob attack on the Capitol. There were some people who broke windows and abused cops and assaulted people. And there were cops who, in my judgment, beat people to death. So you could call it an assault on the Capitol. They continue, unlike their cases, Samuel Lazar's appears to have been resolved in secret, kept under seal with no explanation, even after his release from prison. Lazar, 37, of Ephrata, Pennsylvania, was arrested in July 2021 on charges that he came to the Capitol on Jan 6 dressed in tactical gear and protective goggles, used chemical spray on officers who were desperately trying to beat back the angry Donald Trump supporters. Notice that we've never seen these descriptions about the burning down of a historic church or nearly burning down across from the White House or the attempt to topple the fence that protected the White House or the assaulting and injuring of Secret Service agents and Capitol Police in that instance when they were going after President Trump, because, of course, the narrative is sacrosanct and it's a religious statement for them. But the secrets about January 6th doesn't end there. We still don't know how many FBI agents made it worse, because they did. we still have no cogent explanation as to why the FBI was able to track down every single human being who walked into the Capitol, except for the people who were outside for 3 hours, standing on a three-story structure with a bullhorn saying, move forward into the Capitol. The guy who took down a fence just took out some tools, cut it down, right where he knew people would be coming. There's no tracking him down, no interest in tracking him down. Until that occurs, we will just simply speaking for myself, I don't trust you. So Washington, D.C., please stop. It's an exhausting game. Just speak truth. Yes, we decided to allow some people to enter the Capitol to make it worse. Yes. Yes, we had enough informants to stop it, but we chose not to. There are hoaxes that are breaking down, and it's going to happen. I smile at the efforts to censor us because God is truth. So make all the censorship attempts you want. You can't contain the truth because you can't contain God Almighty. It's almost funny if it's not infuriating. The Fed entrapment hoax, Julie Kelly writes, well, she was writing at American Greatness. She now has a Substack, which is great. It's called Declassified. She's an investigative reporter. And she's done more to cover January 6th well than anyone else, but also the so-called Whitmer kidnapping. And in that case, there were, again, more federal agents and agitators or informants than participants. And it happens that the final three, what Julie calls, and I think this is the right phrase for it, fednapping defendants were found not guilty. And this is how it sounded when these men were acquitted.
Members of the jury, have you reached your verdict?
Yes.
And as to William Null, count one, providing material support for an act of terrorism, what is your verdict?
Not guilty.
For William Null, count two, possession of a firearm at the time of the commission or attempted commission of a felony, what is your verdict?
Not guilty.
As to defendant Michael Null, count one, providing material support for an act of terrorism, what is your verdict?
Not guilty.
For Michael Null, count two, possession of a firearm at time of commission or attempted commission of a felony, what is your verdict?
Not guilty.
As to Eric Molitor, count one, providing material support for an act of terrorism, what is your verdict?
Not guilty.
For Eric Molitor, count two, possession of a firearm at time of commission or attempted commission of a felony, what is your verdict?
Not guilty.
All right. Thank you.
The not guilty charges came straight from a jury who heard most of the facts, but not all of them. For instance, why did the FBI desire to have this happen? What was the motive to invent this plot and to propel this plot? And when these men, many of whom were desperately sad men in desperately sad circumstances, why did they target them? Their so-called militia had been a silly, stupid, ill-led, fascinatingly inept discussion group of frustrated men. That's how they found them, clearly. But why? Why did they instigate the plot? Why did FBI agents invent a crime and recruit people to carry that crime out? I have a theory, and that is because because of the Cultural Revolution that this country is being put through, and people in Washington, D.C. who are participants in this, an attempt to flip this country, to destroy what is, to rebuild in their image, and incidentally, not having anything to do with God's image. Cultural revolutions always involve deception. They always involve creating a targeted class, a scapegoated class. And in this case, the scapegoated class, of course, are white people because we oppress everybody. And they had this narrative that all around the country, there's armies and armies and brigades of white supremacists crouching right outside of the major cities to rush the capitals and to seize the country like a civil war. Never forget, it wasn't just Washington, D.C. held behind fences during that time. And guards, they did that, of course, in Olympia, Washington, etc. But they just didn't have the supply of right-wing radical racists they needed. Their demand exceeded the supply, so they increased the supply. That is a desperate move. And this narrative has collapsed. And praise God, it's collapsed. Now, speaking of collapsing narratives, there is a narrative that the border states in our country, they simply don't like brown people. Therefore, that's why they stand against migrants. It has nothing to do with resources or anything else, rule of law. It's that they're brown migrants. Well, the hoax of border states as racist lands where bitter clingers simply hate migrants exploded in the face of New York Democrats. This is Congressman Forever, Jerry Nadler, ignoring New Yorkers' demands that illegal immigrants be sent elsewhere.
Supplemental budget to give additional resources to New York and other cities welcoming migrants. Unfortunately, House Republicans seem set on defunding the Department of Homeland Security and shutting down our government. I also led a letter with Immigration Subcommittee Ranking Member Jayapal and over 100 of our colleagues to urge the administration to use all the tools available to them to provide stability to asylum seekers and undocumented immigrants in our communities. The administration has the flexibility to provide faster access to employment authorization documents and to protect families by redesignating Venezuela for temporary protected status. I was proud to join this.
Let's bring that down. Yeah, gosh, I don't know about you. Randy does all things technical back at HQ. Great man. Great Christian brother to do the show with. Thank you, Randy. It was bugging me. Jerry Nadler just ignoring New Yorkers. And what are New Yorkers now? Suddenly New Yorkers are racist? Suddenly they can't stand the look of black and brown people? One of my just favorite things about New York City is walking the various neighborhoods and hearing the beauty of the different languages. I can't tell you how much I enjoy that, to go from neighborhood to neighborhood and to hear Italian and to hear Asian languages and to hear to smell the different foods and to see the different cultures. Oh, I love it. And I think so do most New Yorkers. But the narrative of, well, sanctuary cities work, that narrative is collapsing. To make room for the illegal immigrants, New Yorkers have been bumped down the list for access to some of the decent government schools. Nadler sounds like he's unaware of that dynamic. And as a citizen of D.C., how would he be aware?
Do you want to say something about what's happening here in New York City?
Sorry.
Do you want to understand what's happening here in New York City?
Welcoming countless migrants. We set up this center here at the Roosevelt Hotel to process these migrants, to make sure they're fully vaccinated, to make sure to connect them with relatives and send them on their way if they know where they want to go, to give them employment counseling.
You know where they're going on the tour, because there are some issues. There are some issues in the schools in New York City.
There are issues in the what?
The schools in New York City.
What about
them?
What about them? What about the issues in the school? Jerry, the issues in the school are New Yorkers who pay taxes, kids can't get into the decent schools. We'll play just a brief bit of this. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got the same treatment, delivered the same arrogant refusal to hear the people over whom she believes she rules.
With that?
Yes, and ultimately I think that there are 3 points of consensus here that are very important in getting a solution to this issue. The first is that there is consensus here across geography and states.
No, there's not. Thank you. For cutting that off, Randy. What is consensus? Well, I'll tell you this. Colombian traffickers make about $10 million a month helping illegal immigrants come into this country. And that's just the down payment, guys, because they also take a percentage of what those people get in their slave labor so often. And it's also a consensus that governments don't intend to do anything. Massachusetts will no longer turn over people's driving records because they want to protect illegal immigrants who've been given driver's licenses. Complete shift of gears when we come back. NASA scientists have found a sign of life. What does that mean for their ignorance in terms of God's plan? This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you listening and choosing to listen. I haven't said it enough this way, but I get the math of radio really well, and without enough of you supporting AFR, there is no AFR, and then there's I don't get to do this. And if it makes you feel better or you enjoy this, I have dreamt of working in talk radio my whole life. Well, that's not true, but since I heard Paul Harvey way back in high school and junior high with my dad. So, A, thank you for making sure to support a network that gets the Word of God out. B, thank you for supporting the network that gets the Word of God out. And C, thank you for allowing me to be part of this. There is a rush to talk about aliens and the bringing back of this image of what we're told to believe is a 1,000-year-old alien and talks of UFOs, and this happens from time to time. And I read this and instantly became filled with laughter, just giddy laughter, from Fox News. NASA declares module on another planet that can only be produced by life. The planet K2-18b is about 120 light years from Earth. Man, this is exciting. They've found something that can only be produced by life. NASA scientists have detected evidence of a possible life on a planet 100 light years away. The space agency's James Webb Space Telescope discovered a molecule called the methyl sulfide, or DMS, on the distant planet, which on Earth can only be produced by life, according to a report from the BBC. Wow. There must be aliens. When I think of the same scientific materialists who tell us, put away this poppycock, this myth, this man in the sky, this tooth fairy god of yours, and grow up and understand that we are simply the result of billions upon billions of years of iterative random mutations. There's no God. And then they look through a telescope at a planet they may never reach. And from this telescope, they find a molecule, not knowing a thing about that planet's temperatures or elements, but only that they can observe from 120 light years away. And that's it. This can only be produced by life. How can you tell? Well, because they would say. Well, they would say, look, I know this is very complex. Actually, they begin like this. They begin with, well, I don't know how technical you are. But the construct of this molecule is very complex. And heretofore, it's only been created by life. What created life so complex that it could create a molecule like that? And incidentally, you can tell by looking. By looking at something, you can say, that was created by life. And what are some of the characteristics of life? Well, you don't mean to say invented by beings with intelligence, do you? You're not making an argument for intelligent design. They are. They've backed into the argument for intelligent design. They have backed right up into it, bumped into it, and said, oh, what's that? It hit me in the back. Oh, that's intelligent design. That's what hits you in the back. That thing in your back, that's called intelligent design. We can make this as complex as we'd like, or we can make it simple. Here's a simple explanation. If you're walking along a road and you've never seen this object before, ever, let's say that you're prehistoric, but let's say that you are human 300 years ago, and you're walking around and you come upon a disc-shaped object on a table, and it has cheese and tomato sauce and some meats and some vegetables on it, and it's sliced into kind of triangle-shaped slices. but there's no one around. At 300 years, do you walk in and go, wow, that's some random mutation? You smell the garlic and the tomato sauce and the meats, and or do you go, huh, someone cooked a thing and I don't know what it's called. It's a pizza. Your eyes looked at that and said, that's not something that happens in nature. That doesn't happen in nature. That can't happen randomly. But no, billions and billions of years. In a great book called Signature in the Cell, Dr. Stephen Meyer, with whom I've been gifted to talk a few times and have lunch a few times, a deeply humble man, he presents a more complicated scenario, but it's the same scenario. It's pizza said in a different way. Dr. Meyer examines a minimally functional protein in the human body. Minimally functional meaning that it's not a heart cell or a brain cell that has to perform mission critical work. I mean, I understand spiritually in the body, the thumb is no less important than the brain. Apostle Paul teaches that to us. But minimally functional, he gives the example of a series of cells that are going to make a fingernail. Mission critical if you're falling off a cliff, but at other times not. It would require a 7-chain amino. 7 aminos in a chain to form that protein. That 7-chain amino, in order to come about randomly, they did the math on this. They did the math. They looked at what is the minimum, the shortest possible interaction between two aminos of the right charge to attract one another. What is the minimum? And remember, this has to be mimicked in a lab. What's the fastest they could join? They determined what that is. They looked at the 7-chain amino, and then they calculated the number of aminos that exist in the world, the odds of them meeting in that sequence. And they determined that there is not enough time in the known universe to run 50% of the trials necessary to get to a 1/1000th of a percent chance of that happening. But yes, a 120 light year away planet with a molecule on it, you can look at that with the naked eye and say, that is the result of life, but not us, not the eyeball, not the human eye, which, by the way, the complexity of the human eye is not solved by time. I just indicated that with this math that Dr. Meyer and his colleagues did in Signature in the Cell. The complexity isn't solved by the amount of trials because there's not enough time to hold the trials to even get a minimally functional cell or chain of aminos to form a protein. And you want more fun? Here's the ultimate chicken and egg. What forms proteins, chains of aminos? Of what are aminos made? Proteins. It always gets back to this decision we have to make. Absolute nothingness created everything or not. In which case, something existed. But for how long? What would the existent points have been? How would that have happened? See, evolution, as Darwin would have called it, random mutation, it can't solve for creation. It can't solve for the moment that life became. It doesn't solve anything in relation to the neatly structured world in which we live. But yes, the naked eye. The naked eye. 120 light years away. That's it. That's a molecule. There's life up there. There is a fantastic book, and it's entitled God Does Not Exist, but the does not exist is crossed out, replaced with does. And I'm going to blank on the author's name because I just inspired to talk about this. But he references an experiment. done in a lab in England. And this is fun because it was a retiring scientist. And he had this this lab, because he's retiring, he could do whatever he wanted. You know, hey, so here's some funny money, play with it. So he'd always heard this saying, you've heard it too, enough monkeys at enough keyboards, typing enough words, and eventually you get a Shakespearean sonnet. The notion is that the random typing away will eventually produce, you know, something useful, or a Shakespearean sonnet. So he decided to put that to the test, and he got permission to do this. So he was able to acquire, with the university money, he was able to acquire some primates. And I think they're chimpanzees. And he put them in this lab, and he gave them keyboards and covered the keyboards with plastic so the animals didn't destroy the keyboards, gave them monitors so they could kind of see what was appearing. And then they got treats. Anytime the primates wanted a treat, all they had to do was go down and type away on these computers, and they would get fruit or something that they like to eat. So hey, the primates figured this out, right? Trial and error. Hey, I get food when I do this. So they would go down and type away. So he did this for a long period of time. I think it was an entire year or something close to that. A whole bunch of trials. Take a moment and think about, what is the shortest word in the English language that you can think of right now? Just take a second. Just think about what that is. Got it locked in your mind? What do you think the shortest word that was typed by the primates was? What do you think it was? It never happened. The shortest word in the English language is A or I. A dog. A monkey. I saw a monkey. They didn't succeed in typing a single word, because it would require I space or A space. Never happened. It got that man, who was an atheist, to realize, wait a minute. The DNA in our bodies it's not random. There's something called Shannon information. Shannon information is something that appears to be information. It appears to be useful information until you examine it and realize it contains nothing. It's like in the olden days. As a young man, you might talk to a young lady and you might say, hey, maybe I could call you. Could give me your phone number. Sure, here's your phone number. And she hands you a phone number and you realize it has only 3 digits. That's, wow. That's not a phone number. If it says 911, well, what, because you're in trouble or because you would call 911 if I tried to contact you? Shannon information. But yes, the scientists have looked at 120 million light year away planet. There's a molecule. With their naked eye, they've determined that there, that's life. When God created the world, as we say at the top of the show, he said, let there be light. Well, that's one explanation for everything being created in an instant. And if you purchase and believe mentally the Big Bang theory, not the silly TV show, but the theory, that the universe is still expanding, there was a time at which it began. The theory is that there was a blast of light, a massive release of energy at that moment. That's the theory. So, the secular theory goes like this. The materialist theory goes like this. There was void. Absolute void. There was nothing. And then something happened. And it created everything, including the rules that govern the movement of the planets, how our blood works, how species would come about, at what time, how we can have a neatly separated grouping of species, such as species, phylum, order. So easily grouped. Mammals, reptiles, amphibians, fish, birds. Arachnids, insects. All neatly categorized. oh, there's this. God said that man and woman would join and become one flesh. And the auspices of a godly marriage. Have you ever seen the telescopic, the microscopic view of a video of a sperm cell and an egg cell joining? Have you seen this? Fascinating. Because here you have from the woman created by man, from man, by God created from man, woman. And her egg and his sperm, and they join in a burst of light. Did you know that? In a burst of light, let there be light. But yes, 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 that's a random mutation. It's a random circumstance. There's no order to it. It's simply a scrambled up group of cells stewed in a batch of warm protoplasm over billions and billions and billions of years. But where did the protoplasm come from? It came from nothing. To NASA, we can look with our own naked eye and see, no, this world was far too complex to have been the result of random mutation. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back with the Tower of Babylon. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Get to the Tower of Babel here in a moment. It's our way of honoring God and his decision to continue to put people up on pedestals of sand so we can see how meaningless human wisdom is in comparison to the wisdom of God. We'll get to that. Just a little bit more news to cover. The governor of our 51st state of Ukraine is coming to the United States to get his $24 billion. It's already $76 billion that you have given the 51st state of Ukraine since 2022. The all-in monies you've given Ukraine are about $1 trillion. Now, that's not money we have. It's money that we invent. Well, we don't invent it. The Federal Reserve invents it. And it's not even money they invent. They invent debt. I smile at that. I mean, it's atrocious for a country that a private company, which the Federal Reserve is, gets to invent debt and then say, hey, guess what? You owe us that money. I smile because I can see God looking at that going, wow. And you guys have trouble believing I created Earth, but you're going to let people create debt and then pretend it's money. And as this conflict goes on and the loss of life is, of course, utterly, utterly tragic. There's no call to sue for peace. That's a strange dynamic. Normally, there's a call to sue for peace. There's also this interesting fact, and we may play this audio later this week. There is an English-speaking spokesman for Ukraine who is threatening to track down American sympathizers of Russia who are in Ukraine, and he's speaking in particular, I think, about one guy who's there and takes a pro-Russia point of view, as some people in Ukraine take, particularly, I think, in Crimea. Some people want to be part of the Russian state. I personally don't see any huge difference between Zelensky and Putin, other than Putin did the invading. But Zelensky understood very fully by asking to join NATO that he would be invaded. And so did we. And so did Victoria Nuland at our State Department, who appears to be running us towards this war with the desire, I think, to get our troops involved. And definitely with a lot of corporate backing. Lots of people over there already. Google, Citibank, ready to clean up. Chevron, BlackRock, of course. Can't wait to build back. But don't worry, they'll build back better. And I'm sure the Ukrainian people will enjoy that. But the spokesperson is a man who pretends to be a woman. There is this trend, and it is a trend of taking these people who are living in this delusion and giving them extraordinary powers. This is a man in a very bad-looking wig, and I'm not laughing at his delusion or his being spiritually captured, probably both, having been spiritually captured and then deluded. He gets to get on to a widespread Ukrainian audience and make these promises and these threats. And sure, part of it's probably to humiliate the Russian troops that you're so inconsequential to us. We have a man who pretends to be a woman threatening you and your supporters. But there's also this amazing tendency now to give to these people enormous powers. We'll probably play this later in the week as well. There is a Riley Gaines, the swimmer, award-winning medalist and great collegiate swimmer who's taken up the cause of protecting women's sports, has this story of a male coach who decided to avail himself of the female locker room in high school volleyball team. And he decided to go in and disrobe. And the report says he took off his bra and his panties around high school girls. And in another occasion, and God forgive me for speaking so bluntly, he went into the locker room, once again undressed, and then talked to high school girls about their menstrual cycles and what sort of panties they chose to wear during their menstrual cycles. And he was not arrested for indecent exposure. He's not under psychiatric care as someone who is committing at least a mental sex offense. And what sort of images will live in these girls' minds forever as the authorities have said, just let the nice man look at you. Just let the nice man shower next to you. What barriers are being broken down? All of them. Extraordinary powers being given to people. And the magic of this and how this is being done in this cultural revolution is the same people who have Ukraine flags are the same people who have the so-called trans flag. There's no such thing as trans, but they have the flag. Because it's a dividing. And the message is this: do you want to be on the winning side? That's the message. Because look, we're the ones who can force people to agree with us. We're the ones who can take away your social clout. We're the ones who can get your social media shut down. We're the ones who can get you fired from your job. We're the ones who can put you in jail in Washington, D.C. for walking into the Capitol for 10 minutes and walking out having harmed no one. We're the ones who can have all this power, and we're not accountable to anybody. Look, you can join this team and then you won't be accountable to anybody. If you want to cross the border illegally and come in and commit crimes, that's okay as long as you're here to help us. That's the message. And it works through fakery and magic words like trans, like BIPOC, and through myth-making. Through myth-making. One of the myths that was made about President Trump is that this is the guy who's going to take us straight into the world of war. This is the guy who's going to have North Korea nuking us. Myth. Trump pretty much governed from a pretty center position in most things. Economic conservative through and through. America first in that regard, bringing manufacturing back here through and through. No doubt. No doubt. Great job on the Supreme Court, filling it with people who saw the lie of Roe versus Wade, although President Trump this past weekend walked back his support, not for the justices, but for the heartbeat law. Sad to see that. But myth-making, and the myth-making is, of course, that President Trump and Ron DeSantis are literal blood-soaked Hitlers. Whereas the Democrat Party, well, gosh, they only want war as the last resort. In fact, war is not the answer. Do you remember that slogan? War is not the answer, to which I'd always say, well, that depends on the question. As you'll hear in this clip, the myth of Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis as blood-lusting warmongers is created so the Mockingbird media can pretend Hillary Clinton and other leftists are peacemakers. Mark Oz Geist is a survivor of the Benghazi attack. He spent 13 hours engaged in a massive fight to defend Americans. Geist was on the Sean Ryan show. Neither men have much regard for Hillary Clinton.
So the whole thing of destabilizing that country came because somebody, in my opinion, again, Mark Geist's opinion, wanted to have a platform to run on in 2016 that said, look what I did. I overthrew this country. I put this coalition together and we got rid of one of the worst bad guys in the world. who happened to be doing what we wanted him to do at the time.
Well, that plan definitely went to
Yeah, it did.
Hillary Clinton is one of the most disgusting human beings on the planet.
Very much so.
That was Sean Ryan saying that at the end. And then, of course, Mark Geist, who was grievously injured. If you've seen the movie 13 Hours, you know. Myth-making. We'll bring Hillary back to make this point, but we'll also talk about the myth-making around electric cars, and this is for the planet. We'll do that as Randy rolls the sound for the Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
The Lord, I think, places these peoples up on pedestals of sand so we can look at them and say, wow, they're human wisdom. Look at this. The woman who is the energy secretary for the people who run Joe Biden, her team got together and said, hey, let's get a bunch of electric cars. Let's tour the country. Let's show people how great these cars are. So energy secretary, and she who actually works for electric car manufacturers in the World Economic Forum, Jennifer Granholm, caused a family to call 911 after her team blocked them from charging their electric car on a brutally hot day with their little child in need of the air conditioning.
Columbia County 911.
Hi, I'm calling because I'm in the Grovetown Walmart at the charging station, and there's literally a non-electric car that is taking up the space who says they're holding the space for somebody else. And it's holding up a whole bunch of people who need to charge their cars.
Are they still there?
They're still here, but one spot opened up, which is, like, not them. But there's other people who are waiting to charge, and they're still here. And they're not an electric car. And the sign says that it has to. You can't park here unless you're charging.
So, family had to call 911. Because the energy secretary showing off her electric cars had one of the gas-powered cars in her entourage block that spot so the family could not get to that. The myth of this. Oh, this is for the earth. The myth of this. This is for caring. It's not. It's for payoffs. Remember, though, war for oil. We mentioned Mark Geist. And here's Hillary Clinton, who in fact accused George W. Bush of creating a war for oil, bragging about starting that civil war in Benghazi.
We came, we saw, he died.
Oh, that's funny. Man, that's so funny. Barack Hussein Obama, and I say that in memory of my dear radio mentor, Rush Limbaugh, God rest you, Maha. Is raising money for Libya after creating a civil war there. For what exact reason? Yeah, Muammar Gaddafi was a bad guy, but wasn't it President Trump who was literally a blood-soaked Hitler and Ron DeSantis worse than him, and prior to that, Mitt Romney, who in fact strapped a dog to the top of a car to drive it across the country in an act of cruelty in a couple $1,000 dog condominium on top of the car, of course. Myth-making. This is accomplished with myth-making. We're two of three stories into the Tower of Babbling. Here's an ideological comrade and spiritual partner of Hillary Clinton in opposing all things holy, Justin Trudeau, who's driven up food prices in Canada with regulations, supply chain attacks, and taxes. He's pulling a Fidel Castro. Here's how he's preparing to seize grocery stores with threats familiar to anyone who's studied communism.
It's not okay that our biggest grocery stores are making record profits while Canadians are struggling to put food on the table. So Minister Champagne will be calling on the heads of large grocers to come to Ottawa with a plan to address the rising cost of food. And we expect to hear from them by Thanksgiving on what their plan is to stabilize prices. If their plan doesn't provide real relief for the middle class and people working hard to join it, then we will take further action, and we are not ruling anything out, including tax measures.
Or government stores. That dictator of Canada has done everything you could possibly do to drive up costs, firing employees who were skilled because they would not get injected, limiting supplies coming into the country, limiting shipments, increasing taxes and regulations, requiring so-called green energy and green energy switchovers. And now it's the grocery store's fault. The profit margin in grocery stores is about 1%, and so they have to operate on volume. They're stepping up to the plate under the myth of caring for people. Oh, and it's not just Canada. The mayor of Chicago is proposing city-owned grocery stores to address food inequities. What's caused these inequities? Well, in the separate country of Seattle, and it's very similar in the separate country of Chicago, stores have had to flee because they can't keep merchandise on hand because thieving is legal. Oh, and here we are back to the discussion of special powers for special people. Here we are back to myth-making. In relationships, you will get what you accept. People will treat you in exactly the way you allow them to treat you. Now, sometimes we lack control if one is in a literal physical prison. I mean, you can ask as often as you'd like that the guards be good and compassionate and decent and not attempt to harm you. And they can choose to do that because you're literally a captive, physically, but not spiritually. Not spiritually. We can always give it to God. We're called to free the captives spiritually. And people are treated the way that they allow themselves to be treated on a common basis. And right now, people in cities are allowing themselves to be treated as the targeted groups. So people who have not yet made the decision for Christ, for Jesus Christ, I would share with you this. We were told long ago by God who has always existed, always will exist, who loves you and wants you back in the family, that we Christians, when people act cruelly towards us and target us and persecute us for Jesus, that we're blessed because we're joining in a suffering, a small version of the suffering through which Jesus went in order to free the captives. And so I would ask people who have not yet made the decision for Christ living in these separate cities, how is that secular approach working for you? Do you feel imprisoned in your own homes? Come out. Get to your knees and open your heart to Jesus Christ and ask Him to enter your life. And He'll come. And then go and get baptized. And then walk with Him. That's God the Father calling. If you heard this and you haven't made that decision, that wasn't on accident. In the beginning was the Word, but the Word was with God. We speak because we believe. This is the Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. God be with you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.